Hello, I'm Brandon House. Do you appreciate the free programs at worldviewradio.com, WVWTV.com? Do you appreciate the fact we put out a 24-hour-a-day stream of free television? By the way, did you know that's free for you to watch, but it's not free to us? We spend thousands of dollars a month in pushing out free programming. We have to pay the bandwidth. Every time someone listens to a radio show, watches a TV show, we get a bill. We have to pay the bandwidth bill. That comes to thousands of dollars a month, not counting the cost of our IT guys and all the other costs that go with producing television, the guys in the control room, and so much more. If you appreciate WVW Broadcast Network, would you partner with us? You can partner with us and help us push out free programming as a ministry of WVW Foundation, because you know what we could do? Put it all behind a paywall. But instead, we said, let's not do that. Let's push out programming for free as a ministry of the WVW Foundation. Would you please consider making a contribution right now at WVWFoundation.com? That's WVWFoundation.com. You'll also find our mailing address there if you prefer to support us through the mail. You can also use our phone number and make a contribution over the phone by calling 901-468-9357, 901-468-9357. Thank you for supporting free programming through WVWFoundation.com.
This is Brandon House Live. Whether the issue is law, science, economics, history, family, social issues, education, religion, government, or national security, Brannon brings the issues of the day into clear focus through the lens of a Judeo-Christian worldview. And now, here is your host, Brannon House.
Good evening and welcome to the broadcast. Glad you are with us. We're going to be joined tonight by Colonel John Mills, FBI whistleblower Kyle Serafin, Tina Peters. She just got handed down a sentence this week. We'll let her tell you in her own words what that's all about. And I think there's more court dates coming, as apparently the Uniparty and Deep State wants to persecute this poor lady. We'll also hear from Terry Churchy, the former Deputy Assistant Director of the Counterterrorism Division of the FBI. Terry Churchy will join us also tonight. Well, to talk about many things, including this, well, goal to infiltrate churches, evangelical churches, Protestant churches, Catholic churches, the FBI. Wow. Is that what it's come to, has it? The decline and the fall of America. Quite shocking. Quite shocking. Before we go to our first guest tonight, we would like to announce a brand new sponsor. A brand new sponsor. Someone that we are very pleased to have on board. Now, many of you know that I pretty much, well, get a lot of requests to promote a lot of different things. And we turn down 99.999% because it just has to be the right fit. I'm very particular. I've worked too many years and too hard to get the trust of my audience to just let anyone come on here and be a sponsor. Most all of the things that we allow on our network or on my show are things I personally use. That's why we offered the freeze-dried food starting in 2016. I had some by 2013, so 3 years later we started offering it. Precious metals, been working with Swiss America for 18 years. I made my first purchase of precious metals in about 1993. I could just keep on going, talking about the things that we utilize and use that we then turn around and recommend to you. This is one such product. This is a brand new sponsor tonight. I think many of you are going to really appreciate what I'm about to show you. We talk a lot on this broadcast about national security, about personal security, about the civil unrest that's rising in America and only going to, I believe, increase. And some of you have asked me in the past about, well, what are some of the other things you're doing? Well, I'm not going to tell everybody everything I do for security reasons, but I am going to share with you this one. Watch this spot. I think this will, well, be something a lot of you are going to be interested in. You might want to get a pen and a piece of paper, or get ready to pull out your phone and take down this phone number. I think a lot of you are going to be intrigued by this. Watch this. Hello, I'm Brandon House for QMI Security Shutters. Did you know that about 35% of break-ins occur at the front door? That's why I had a QMI Security Shutter installed at my front door several years ago. You didn't even know there was a security shutter there until I pushed the button, right? By the way, QMI has been around for over 40 years, and they've done over 50,000 installations between businesses and residential. And in fact, they have 95% of the pharmacies secured in America and many, many of the big box stores. But they're not just for businesses. They're also for residential homes. They come in a variety of colors, and it's made of the sturdiest material in the industry. You'll sleep better at night knowing you have the QMI security shutters. By the way, they have the smallest housing in the industry. So when the shutter rolls up, it's rolling into the smallest housing in the industry. Oh, and by the way, there's a little knob there. You just take a pole that they provide for you, and you could crank it should the power go out. No trouble there. Why not call the number on the screen now? Call QMI, and they'll find you a certified installer in your area right now. Remember, they come in a variety of colors, and you're going to sleep a lot better knowing that you have a QMI security shutter securing your house, just like I do. Tell them Brandon House sent you. All right, well, there you go. And again, I hope you guys will take advantage of that and get on board with QMI. It's a great company, and I know you'll appreciate having a security shutter like that. We'll run that again tonight, give you guys a chance to see that in action again. I think you'll be shocked at how affordable they are for what you're getting. I called one of those big steel door companies in my town, and they wanted like $20,000 for this big steel door. But it wasn't going to stop anybody from coming in, particularly if it's got glass in it. They just break the, you know, stick their hand through and unlock. You just saw what they were doing to the QMI shutter, right? So, again, you might want to put one at your front door, your back door, wherever you feel is a place where you need a little extra security. It's a great company, and I highly recommend them. So there you go. All right. Joining me now is Colonel John Mills. Colonel, welcome to the broadcast. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, Brandon, always an honor to be on your show. Those are great shutters. I love those. That's an awesome product.
Yeah, I knew you would. Thank you. I knew you would. I knew that's right up your alley. And a lot of people say after they have them installed, they sleep a lot better as well.
Oh, that's great. Great product. Yeah, very good. Yeah, so Brandon,
I see your map behind you, so I'm glad to see that map behind you again tonight.
Well, yeah, I got several things to show you. It's been crazy town in the Western Pacific, and because President Tsai of Taiwan met Speaker McCarthy at the Reagan Library, and my former Congressman Rob Whitman was Virginia 1. I've been redistricted to Virginia 7. Was right there, I noticed. But the Chinese just went absolutely bonkers. Taiwan West just lost control, and it was crazy. I think this was the greatest air surge ever toward Taiwan. But they're saying, oh, no, it was worse when Nancy Pelosi visited last year. As much as we may disagree with Nancy on a number of things, you know, bravo to her for actually visiting Taiwan. But let me just go over that really quick, what just happened. This is very significant because we are, ladies and gentlemen, because, I mean, I get some criticism, people saying, this has nothing to do with us, you know, just come on, we just need to stay out of this. Hold on a second here. First of all, when there is a treaty, as opposed to Ukraine, there actually is a treaty. I think we need to be good for our word, even if we question who's in the White House right now. Two, there's about an 80% chance that you have a product made with a computer chip from Taiwan. They are the world's leader in that. And three, to be aggressors on Taiwan, they're going to have to bomb and missile American territory, Guam, Saipan, and Tinian, and very likely Hawaii. Now, if you did not know, Guam, Tinian, and Saipan, those are American citizens. That's American territory. And if you did not know, Hawaii is the 50th state. I have many family members on Hawaii. I don't want to see them injured. So this is very serious matter. So let's go really quickly over what's going on here. So to orient everybody to the map, I mean, America is that way, Hawaii is that way, Guam, Tinian, Saipan that way, That's the bottom of Japan, very bottom of South Korea, Taiwan, the Philippines. This is Taiwan West. So what was going on? Very aggressive flights. A lot of it, again, around the south, because they know. I need to point out forward operating base Okinawa, where there is very large American and Japanese military presence. Very large. There's forward operating base Ishigaki. These are all Japanese islands right now. There's a very close relationship between Japan and Taiwan. Japan is a good friend of ours. Japan will fight to defend Taiwan. South Korea will fight to defend Taiwan. And we'll go into some incredible coordination going on between South Korea and Japan. But this is being armed right now, forward operating base Ishigaki, which are, these are Japanese islands. The Japanese are arming them. We're arming them, and we're putting weapons here. Army is going to be putting probably Tomahawk. Army is going to be putting Tomahawk and SM-6 missiles. Those are both Navy missiles the Army's going to put on trucks so they can provide ferocious fire support. And then also down here, we've now announced the agreement. We're going to go into this to the Philippines, and we're most likely going to be putting the missiles here too. So ferocious crossfire also from Okinawa, and we're not even included Guam, Tinian, Saipan, Palau, and Ulithi off the map. I've just written these notional engagement areas. The whole job for the what the Japanese and Korean navies is block this area, and also Korea up here block this area. So essentially, China's blocked from coming this way. Submarines and mines, and they'll block them up here. So a lot of the Chinese Navy will be bottled up here. Same down here. This is where that balloon came from. The Chinese balloon came from Hainan Island. That's also where they hide their nuclear submarines with ballistic missiles, an underground base here. That's where they hide their subs, and then they come out. And they can hit America from right in here. So we want to block this with the Indians, the Americans, and the Australians to force the Chinese, if they're going to try this, come straight across. And the Taiwanese are just going to light up this area with mines. But this was also what was very aggressive was the Shandong. One of their two active carriers was out here launching air missions against Taiwan from the eastern side. So we got to occupy this space. That's very important. All notional, just from public sources of what's going on. So let's go to the next one. Oh, yeah, talking about the Chinese carriers. This is carrier number 3. Now, this one has catapults, so it can actually launch aircraft with catapults. The Shandong and the Liaoning doesn't have catapults, so they have to do this short takeoff off a ramp. You can't take off it with as much weight, not even close. The catapults, they looks like they have 3. Our carriers normally have 4. They have 3. So that's the Fujian fitting out. This is at the big Jiangnan shipyard in Shanghai. And this is carrier 4 up here. Hasn't have a name. So this is going to have catapults and be nuclear powered. So this is going to start to get close to the Nimitz and the Ford class that we have. So they are building. So this is their incredible shipyard. This is one of many they have in Shanghai. But again, that's above that blockading area. So it's going to be hard once these carriers are ready to come down. Okay. Now, this is, I talked about these missiles. This is the incredible SM-6 missile. Very effective. And this thing can be hypersonic, the 2B configuration. So this is SM-6, and this is Tomahawk, Navy Tomahawk, and this is Navy 2. Being launched from a simple trailer. Most likely this is at Barking Sands in Hawaii, Kauai, the island of Kauai. We've been out there. It's beautiful. But again, this is a game changer. Army says they'll have these ready this year, like within a few months, and this will provide ferocious fire support. A couple of years ago, the Army was thinking about doing their own missiles, and I said that was a very bad idea. You got very successful Navy missiles. I don't see service color. You know, go with the best of breed. These are very proven, very effective missiles. Okay, so this is what we're going to be putting at Ishigaki, Okinawa, Guam, Tinian, Saipan, and the Philippines. And this is just the Philippine bases, 500 miles from the north of Luzon here, 500 miles, and that's well within range of both the Tomahawk and the SM-6. and also Palawan. So we're going to have – it's announced three bases up here, one here, and this can keep hold all the Chinese fortified islands at risk. So we haven't said exactly where on Palawan. There we go. Okay. This is the first base that's been announced, Camilo Naval Base. This is a Filipino naval base and airstrip right here, maybe about 7,000 to 8,000 feet long with some facilities up here. We're going to greatly improve this. This is right on the very northern tip of Luzon. This is only about 150, 200 miles from Taiwan. This is Cagayan, close by another airfield we're going to be coming into. So this could take the Navy patrol planes, Air Force fighters, Army helicopters. So this is going to be important here. This is Camp Melcher. This is going to be a hospital facility. So that's important. We're thinking we need hospitals. So people are going to need some medical support. And this is the big long island. This is a huge, long, narrow island, but it faces a right offshore Chinese Coast Guard, Chinese fishing vessels, fishing fleets have been very aggressive and nasty with the Filipinos right offshore. So we're going to have facilities here too. Oh, yeah. So, well, the Shandong, the Chinese carrier, was behind. Close by was the American carrier, the Nimitz. Should be the Nimitz, I think it was. And so this is what's important is this is the one thing the Chinese can't do, although they may have a larger fleet than our Navy, okay? But when we combine it with a very powerful Chinese and very powerful Japanese and Korean Navy, plus the Australians, plus the Indians, plus likely the Brits, we have a much larger fleet. So, but we can interoperate. So we got three nations right here operating together. This interoperability thing is very, very important. So you can communicate, you can signal similar ammunition. We can shoot and engage enemy targets together. It's very beautiful. The Chinese can't do this. They have Venezuela, Iran, messed up countries like that. They can't do that. Okay. Oh, this is Captain, and close by to the Nimitz was the Macon, which is a amphibious assault ship, essentially a small or medium sized carrier. This thing is bigger than almost all of our World War II carriers, much bigger, 45,000 tons. Captain Chavez, commander of the Macon, with Captain Lee of the Korean Navy. So they're close by. So we had the Nimitz and the Macon amphibious group close by. So this is a small carrier. This could carry F-35 stealth jets. And close by in Guam, we had this going on. So this is a quite special year. We had a bit of exercise going on at Guam with multiple nations. This is Indian Navy right here. This is one of their brand new, beautiful Boeing P-8 Poseidon patrol aircraft. Can drop bombs and the torpedoes. Canada right here with one of the beautiful P-3 Orions. Japan with one of their beautiful patrol aircraft. Korea, another P-3. And then America right here with our new P-8 Poseidon. So we have a number of aircraft doing, again, joint missions together. India, a lot of people don't talk about India. Very likely would come in and fall in with our side, even though France, Macron just came back from China, and it sounds like he flipped. So there you go. So that's just a quick walkthrough of some current events that's going on. The Chinese air sorties just concluded. Several of their ships are still around Taiwan. But when you surge aircraft like that, you got to take a break because lots of things break. This is very important, the maintenance cycle. You got to understand the maintenance cycle. So there you go. There you go, Brandon. Questions?
Thank you for that briefing. Excellent briefing. I was going to ask you about Macron. I mean, this guy has now flipped China to China's direction. It seems like the whole world is now ganging up to get rid of the American dollar. Here we are going to, looks like, be involved in a war with China and maybe Russia, two theaters, while our dollar is collapsing on a worldwide basis. Talk about the new way of warfare. There you go. And the dollar collapsing while we're going to world war, a little concerning, is it not, Colonel?
Yeah. Unrestricted warfare. This is, they want to defeat us without fighting us. And number one goal is take the U.S. dollar. And Sleepy Joe is too incompetent to understand the significance. You want the dollar. I mean, everybody says, oh, you know, that's part of the globalist elite, you know, blah, 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 blah. You know, you want your currency to be the reserve currency. Life is better when you're the reserve currency. It's as simple as that. But this craziness of our elite, you know, Carter wanted to give away the Panama Canal. Obama wanted to give away control of the internet. And Biden, you know, seems to be hapless, passed out, drunk in the gutter. You know, doesn't realize, you know, I mean, all the Yellen, I mean, that crazy mop head Yellen, what is going on? The dollar should be the almighty dollar. We cannot give away control. Macron just comes back, French prime minister, and says, yeah, you know what? Why do – he just came back from China. Obviously, he got roughed up by Xi. Yeah, why do we have the dollar as the reserve currency? Saudi Arabia flipped. And this is a vote. There is no – formal declaration of what the reserve currency. It's just essentially a feeling or an assessment of which country is going to be the lead sled dog for the future. And this, at least Obama was leading from the rear. Biden hasn't even left the locker room and or the basement. And all the countries are they're going, well, obviously he doesn't want to play, so I guess China's the one. And the Biden team just this is a horrible, horrible tragedy to let them just let the dollar be taken over, and it's they're bought off, incompetent, and you know, they think by surrendering things everybody will like us. That is this horrible travesty of surrendering the lead position of the U.S. Dollar as the world reserve currency.
And then we have U.S. Senator Rubio coming out and stating that the DOD doesn't have any inventory. He's talking publicly on television. The DOD doesn't have – he was shocked, he said, to find out about 18 months ago. The DOD doesn't have any inventory. Of course, we're sending a lot of our machines over to – our military equipment over to Ukraine. We left $85 billion, as you well know, Colonel, on the field in Afghanistan for our enemies to take. And I'm hearing that some of that technology has allowed Iran to improve on their drones. But here you have a U.S. senator saying DOD doesn't have inventory. Wow, that's again, almost too convenient that you have a guy getting a bunch of money, according to numerous reports, from China, being Biden, draining down our military, destroying our military, giving away our hardware, giving away our strategic oil reserves. I mean, it sounds like he's just setting us up to collapse for his you know, top donors.
Yeah, he's doing – yeah, you know, I believe he is. Essentially, his family is bought out. I mean, I think Schweitzer's book shows clearly they have taken Chinese money. Brandon may not remember it, but he took Chinese money. Chinese want return on investment, and he can't even remember where he put the money, and he's taking $200,000 loan out on his beach home. So obviously, he blew through all the cash that him and Hunter received. I mean, they're incompetent, bought out. Don't care. They don't understand these basic concepts. They've worked for government their entire lives, don't have any understanding of reality. And, you know, we got others that are corrupt, bought off, incompetent elites that are just bent on giving away America. And this is horrible. So we have to deter and, if necessary, defeat China. Well, getting President Trump back in office, who will lead us to victory and, making America great again. And that's not a
political
statement. The
nation will follow.
That's just fact.
Yeah. TheNationWillFollow.com is the website. The Nation Will Follow is the name of the book. You see it there on the right-hand side of your screen. TheNationWillFollow.com. TheNationWillFollow.com to get the book on how to, well, start at the county level to save our country one county at a time. Also, his own personal experience with the deep state the day he received a phone call there at the Department of Defense asking him to take part in a little review process to try to stop a duly elected president-elect from taking office or delaying his going into office. Talk about your insurrection. He talks all about it in that book, The Nation Will Follow. TheNationWillFollow.com is where you can order it. Colonel, as always, thank you for your great presentation and maps. We love it all. Thank you so much, sir.
Hey, thank you so much, Brandon. Everybody asks for these charts. I've set up a Substack, Colonel Rhett John, Colonel R.E.T. John on Substack, if you want to see these charts, because everybody's saying, where can I get these? So I put them there. But thank you so much, Brandon. Always an honor.
You too, Colonel. Thank you. Get them there on his Substack. Great, great maps. Excuse me. Well, joining me now is Kyle Serafin. He is an FBI whistleblower. We've had him on many times. By the way, let's go to a shot. Go to that shot if you can, because today is National Pet Day, I've been told by a few people. A few people have told me today is National Pet Day. And, yeah, I think you can see her. Yeah, you can see her right there on her bed. There she is laying on her bed, Delta. Someone asked me last night, I guess they sent over a request or a question, has Delta been fired? No, that'd be like firing your right arm. I mean, no, Delta doesn't. She doesn't get fired ever. The dog sleeps right in the bed with me every night. I hate to tell you, but a lot of nights she sleeps right in between my wife and I. So I guess nothing should come between a man and his wife other than his yellow lab, right? But she likes to position herself right in between us, and she does an awful lot of snoring, I'll tell you that much. But apparently my wife says it's a competition as to who's going to snore the most at night, me or Delta. But no, Delta's not been fired. She just has been busy. Sometimes she is in here. Sometimes she's out. She comes. You know, she has a busy day. There was a comedian down in Branson years ago had a real dog. He had a real dog, but he had some kind of fake mouth on it, and he could make that mouth go up and down, and he would do a ventriloquist act with the dog. And the dog had a very busy day when he was asked what he did. Yeah, I went inside. I went outside. I came back in. I went outside. I came back in. I went outside. I came back in. That's kind of Delta's day. What did you do today? That's kind of it. Come in the studio, leave the studio. Come into the studio, leave the studio. She can't make up her mind sometimes what she wants to do. But she is here, as you guys saw. One more beautiful shot of her. I think she knows I'm talking about her. So happy National Pet Day to all of you and to your pets. But, yeah, Delta is here. She's here. So there you go. Some folks were asking. All right, joining me now is whistleblower Kyle Serafin. Sorry, Kyle, we had to get the dog in there for National Pet Day. Kyle, welcome back to the broadcast. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Brandon. How's it going?
It's going good. Glad to have you with us tonight. I wanted to reach out to you because I thought about you. I thought about Terry Turchi, who's going to be on with us later tonight. I thought about Steve Friend, another FBI whistleblower and colleague of yours. Both of you suspended without pay. They took your gun. They took your badge. You're kind of in limbo. You can't go get another job until they officially fire you. Apparently, they're trying to drain you financially. You're not giving in. You're still speaking up. You're a man of courage and conviction. And so I thought about Steve Friend today. I thought about you, and I reached out to you because here's the headline I saw today. FBI sought to develop sources in Catholic churches to combat domestic terrorism, docket shows. I think I also read on another report that it was also other churches as well. The FBI recently sought to develop sources inside Christian churches and Catholic dioceses. So apparently the Protestant churches, the Catholic churches, the FBI, they used to recruit. They used to recruit out of churches in America, the FBI. Now they want to monitor, the FBI wants to monitor the churches because, and of course, they used to recruit guys that were very well versed in the Constitution. They often recruited lawyers and accountants. Now apparently if you go to church and follow the Constitution, and again, they used to hire out of the churches and hire constitutionalists, but now if you go to church and are a constitutionalist, you're a potential domestic terrorist. You want to comment on this tonight?
Yeah, I think we're watching the crumbling. Both the reputation and the instincts of the FBI are falling apart in real time. We're seeing that the First Amendment was a barrier at some point, but now it's just it's just a stumbling block they're willing to walk right over the top of. So the Bureau has been doing this kind of interesting thing. It started back in 2022 that I can see as far as actually attacking certain types of Christian churches. And they always try to fly it like they're going after something fringe, something cult-like. That's always kind of the headline. And so in the case of 2022, there were three churches that were affiliated in both Georgia and Texas. And that may have been a legitimate white-collar case from all I can tell. But, that's kind of how they start. And what do? They impugn the nature of the church by saying it was cult-like and that there were people in there that were trying to recruit in ways that were unsavory on a military base and so on. So that's part one. And then you end up with this situation that came out of Richmond, which I blew the whistle on in February, where we've got a intelligence analyst writing a product stating that, once again, another fringe-type group. This is radical traditionalist Catholics. I'm not familiar with that term, despite being a lifelong Catholic. But that's what they were going to target, and they were saying that these people were basically they were a fertile ground for sowing the seeds of white supremacy. And if anybody knows anything about any part of Christianity, white supremacy doesn't really fly there. But so be it. That's the way that it kind of pitched. And I did some review of it today. I went over the document that I initially leaked out. And then, of course, Jim Jordan's office got another 18 pages of highly redacted pieces of information from the Bureau. And it's they were not 100% confident that somebody had actually infiltrated the church, but that was their instinct. So I reread the document, and I went over it with another whistleblower who is now retired, and his name is George Hill. So the two of us were looking at it, and we determined from our training and our experience, him 40, you know, almost 40 years in intelligence, both in the military and in civilian side, and we've landed on the language that it has all the hallmarks of a recruitment job, of a undercover or a infiltration. And there's a really, really good chance that the person who did the infiltration of this particular church was, in fact, the writer of the product that I revealed. We based that on some information, particularly how much he knew about the Catholic Church. And the writer is actually it's a young male intelligence analyst who recently graduated from Georgetown University within the last 2 years. So that tells us something. And, you know, to have an inside knowledge, to have a leftist bent coming out of somewhere like Georgetown, that's not surprising, but to be able to target the Catholic Church in the area where he was, that sounds like what he did. And there's certain language that's in the actual document, and I'll read a little bit of it. It said FBI Richmond does not include an analysis of alternatives in this product due to the quality of the source information, which is to say that it was so high quality, and then also the lack of significant uncertainties, which is to say that there was a high degree of certainty. And that would be the case if you wrote it yourself because it was from your own firsthand knowledge. That would be a really, really easy thing to do. And another piece on there directly out of there is it says exploration for new avenues for tripwires and source development. This assessment is based on reporting, and then that's redacted, and liaison and contact reporting. Now, the only things that you would redact in that particular paragraph would be things that you can't talk about. That would likely be signals intelligence, which would come out of, you know, like an NSA type collection or a Title III wire or something like that. The other alternative is an undercover employee or a confidential human informant. So the likelihood here is that it's probably an undercover employee, and in this case, most likely, I think, is the analyst. Obviously, I'm speculating a little bit, but the language really walks us right to where it needs to be. As my buddy George said, when you deal with intelligence, you almost always have three prongs. The three prongs are kind of like you see in a plug outlet. They're never all the same length. Not everybody has the complete story. But to align up and say that I've got all of the story and they're all the right depth, you know, the plugs all kind of seat perfectly into the outlet, then that tends to be something that is firsthand information from someone who's trained and actually works for the Bureau.
I had a presentation done by one of my friends, John Loeffler, probably coming up on 12 to 15 years ago. I'll have to go back and check. 12 to 15 years ago, John Loeffler did a presentation for me at my national conference, my annual national conference. And we filmed it. It's on DVD. We have it in our archive. We've played it before. I probably need to pull this clip out that I'm about to tell you about and play it again for the audience. Because this was 12 to 15 years ago, and what he said, well, his presentation was titled The Coming Persecution of the West. The Coming Persecution of the West. And one of the things he said was, you're going to have a day, sadly, come in America when you're not going to be able to trust some of the people that go to your own church. You're going to have to be very careful trusting the people at your own chosen local church, because they will have been flipped. They will either be provocateurs that have slipped in or people that have flipped, and you will, if you're not careful, find yourself being turned in by the very people you go to church with. Now, saying that 12 years ago, 15 years ago, when John Loeffler said that, a lot of people thought, yeah, that's probably never going to happen in America. But increasingly, we would have never thought, oh, your own FBI and deep state and intelligence arena would try to stop or delay the incoming president-elect Donald Trump, as Colonel John Mills says. He was the one in the DOD who got the phone call, you know, hey, take a look at this with us. We might need your help with this team we're standing up. He looks over and he says, hey, there's nothing here. There's nothing to this Russia collusion. Well, stand down, Colonel Mills. James Comey and John Brennan have hands on keyboard, personally involved. FBI director, CIA director, really? We never thought we'd see this. We never thought we'd see half of what we're seeing. So now to go back and watch an old presentation by John Loeffler where he's saying at our national conference, hey, the day's going to come. You might be turned in by people you go to church with. Starting to come more into focus now, isn't it, Kyle?
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think more accurately, we use the word deep state and it kind of conjures up a lot of images. But I think that it's I think it's a little overly dramatic. The real expression would be the administrative state. Deep state has a nice like kind of trademark to it. But administrative state is really more accurate. And if you think about the people that are in the administrative arms of the federal government, these are people that have given their life to that service. Now, it used to be that they would give their life to God first and dedicate themselves to the country, and they just happened to serve in a particular administrative branch. But less and less that's the case. I think more now they are swearing allegiance to their own resumes, and they're able to just bypass the constitutional oath as sort of a terms of service, check the box. And they're really just sort of interested in pushing whatever ideas they have that they want to get to completion because they've waited 15, 20 years. A lot of these people that are very senior in the senior executive service, that's their goal. Their goal is to move forward their own agenda, and they finally are in these positions to do so. So that's how you end up with folks that are doing this. And many of them have been in the, you know, working in federal service for 20, 30 years. They've been, you know, you look at people like Jim Baker, who was the senior counsel that went over to Twitter and left the FBI. You know, he started in 1990. So you're talking about people that spent an awful lot of time and dedicated, you know, service to this. And at some point, they fail to realize where, you know, where the deity is that they should be aligned to, and that they've taken on the government itself as its own deity. And so I honestly think we're dealing with a secular religion in many ways. It's a different type of worship, and that's why you can easily go after and try to divide and conquer, you know, Christian churches, whether they be Catholic or Protestant, doesn't really matter, because those are all the enemy, because they've put something above government, and that's what these people put above all else.
Yeah, I don't know if you've ever had the chance to read Malachi Martin. Have you ever had the chance to read him, Kyle?
I can't say I have.
Okay, Malachi Martin, I didn't mean to put you on the spot, because I wouldn't have known who he was until several years ago or a few years ago. Malachi Martin was a high-ranking, or was a Jesuit. I was just trying to find one of his books here real quick. He wrote the New York Times bestseller, The Jesuits. He wrote the New York Times bestseller, The Jesuits. And reason I bring it up is because you mentioned the Georgetown University, and the guy that wrote that paper may be the guy that went to may have gone to Georgetown. Well, Georgetown, as you know, is a Jesuit school. And, you know, a lot of people talk about the Jesuits sometimes, and sometimes some of the things they're saying are true, some of them are not true. It's made up. It's just not accurate. But if the audience wants to get a good look at what the Jesuits are about, they should go to Amazon, type in The Jesuits, and you'll find a New York Times bestseller written by Malachi Martin. Malachi Martin. He was a Jesuit until the 70s, and he said he bailed. He bailed and said, I'm going to America. I'm bailing on the Jesuits. I'm getting out of the Jesuit order. I'm bailing. And what he predicted, it's weird when you read his books, because he wrote these books years ago, and so much of what he wrote is coming to pass. And he said, you got to be very careful. The Marxists, the globalists are going after the Vatican, and the Jesuits are helping to lead this. And, of course, he goes into great detail of how they're going to do it. And you read his books, and at the time you're reading them and saying, well, that's interesting. But now you go, you read them, and the things that he was saying and how it would be done, it's being done. He even warned that they'll penetrate the Catholic seminaries, and to the point that they have trained the young seminarians into liberation theology, you know, Marxism exactly. Mixed with Catholicism. And he says, and then they will install a Marxist pope. Well, of course, we got the first Jesuit pope, you know, Pope Francis. And the things he's saying, all of this happened. And Malachi Martin died before Pope Francis came around. There it is right there, the Jesuits. Fascinating. So it made me think about that when you said that, because just as there's a battle been going on within the Catholic Church between traditional Catholics, pro-life Catholics, free market Catholics, there's been a battle going on in the Protestant world. I'm not Catholic. I come from the Protestant evangelical world. But I can tell you, and I wrote a whole book on it that came out in 2018 called Marxianity. And what I'm writing about is how the evangelical Protestant world has now merged with Marxism or socialism. So the Catholic Church Monica Martin saying, look out, the Jesuits and the Marxists are going to try to take over and merge traditional Catholicism with a Marxism and take over, just as happened in the Protestant world. I see the two groups are lining up and we're fighting the same, some of the same players, but one in the Protestant world, one in the evangelical world. So that just kind of caught my ear when you said that that potential author came out of Georgetown, which is a Jesuit university.
No kidding. Yeah. And so I went to Jesuit high schools, actually. So I had some pretty good experience for a number of years with Jesuits. And what I saw at the time, and this goes back, you know, over 20 years now, but what I saw was a lot of the younger Jesuits were very infatuated with that liberation theology, as you talk about. Most of them had spent time in Latin America, where they saw a lot of iniquity, where they saw a lot of poverty, where they saw a lot of government corruption. And the answer that they sort of, you know, latched onto, because it was available to them and it was something that, you know, that the Pope came out of the same place. This liberation theology was very pervasive in Latin American countries. And obviously now very much so in the mainstream Jesuit. And I think they've got further and further to the left. Interestingly enough, I had kind of a mixture of very young Jesuits and then some of the really senior old guys who were just kind of a hoot. They were just, you know, educated, intelligent, kind of the classically highly educated, you know, and often professional. They would have professional degrees in certain fields. And so they came in and they just taught classes. That's what Jesuits have always done. They were an intellectual order in a lot of ways. But some of the younger ones, definitely more activist. And now I think we're seeing some of the fruits of that. So there's a lot of skepticism in the Catholic Church and obviously across the country about Marxism and whether it's in the evangelical tradition or whether it's in the Catholic tradition or mainstream Protestantism. It doesn't matter because it's all built on Christianity one way or another. They just are trying to deny the Christian part of it, which is really difficult to do. But all the values come out of the right place. It's just it's a perversion of it, I think, in many ways. And you know, the government's no different at this point. It's taken on a lot of this. It's just taken it in a secular role.
And, you know, there was his name escaped me. Leo is watching, so Leo can probably tell me his name real quick. Here we go. Archbishop Vigano. I don't know if you've also been watching any of the speeches and the warnings by Archbishop Vigano, but he's kind of persona non grata with the Vatican because he's talking about the dangers of the Jesuits, the dangers of the Freemasonry. I mean, these are his words. He's talking about the dangers of the Great Reset. He's talking about globalism, the COVID shot, the COVID passports. I mean, I'm just telling you what Archbishop Vigano is warning about. So if you go watch his speeches, and I think he's the one that also sent a letter to President Trump at the time warning him that these are your pitfalls. These are the things you better be looking out for. So any of the audience, if you haven't seen the warnings by Archbishop Vigano, you should watch them. We did several shows. This was, I think, looked up on our own file here, October 2021. October 2021, we did a series of TV shows playing these video clips of Archbishop Vigano warning about the things we're talking about right now. So this isn't just something that's made of conspiracy. I mean, Archbishop Vigano has been around a long time and saw the inner workings, and here he is warning on a global scale. Something has happened, and he's really calling out the current, you know, occupant of the Vatican and what's going on. So this battle continues in the Protestant world, in the Catholic world, it continues. But in conclusion, I want to ask you about Mar-a-Lago. Another article came out today that the Biden regime apparently lied. Their administration was very much involved in the raid on President Trump's Mar-a-Lago. We're, again, in a weird territory. Richard Nixon, you know, that for all the things they've said about Richard Nixon and his enemies list or whatever, Richard Nixon didn't use the power of the FBI that I'm aware of to ever raid a former president's residence, much less one that would go on to be his and likely will be his President Trump being Biden's competitor in 2024. I mean, we're just in a weird place where all the rules of our nation, the law, the order, the decorum, it's all just breaking down. Of course, you couldn't get away with this back in Nixon's day because you had the media, but now you got a media that's parroting whatever the administration wants. But what's your take on the fact that you now have the FBI being directly used by the White House to raid the home of former President Donald Trump?
Well, I think he's one of the many victims, and it was kind of a ratcheting up of the sort of weaponization of this FBI, the DOJ at this point. I did a podcast this week about what I think is probably Coin Intel Pro 2.0, if you will. And, you know, many people will remember it, but the actions that happened in starting in 56 and going through the early 70s were essentially in line with at least a fair number of people in this country. But it was another time, you know, late 50s, all the way through the 60s and early 70s, where the country was facing a significant political divide, where there was a lot of unrest. There was a lot of activism that was going on. There were a lot of very loud voices kind of on the extremes. And I think just like always in the history of America, the middle of America, the probably the 80% in the center of the bell curve just wants to be left alone and try to make a living and you know, take care of their children. And yet during that time, the FBI got off of its leash and was breaking the law and was going after and you know, destroying all the norms that were out there. This is very similar to what we are seeing in the last couple of years. And they've been, you know, weaponized in a way that they are going to attack one side of the political spectrum. Most people don't realize this, but COINTELPRO, not only do they go after the civil rights activists and things like that, but they went after, you know, people on the extreme right as well. They were kind of attacking the ends. Right now, what we're seeing is just a straightforward, you know, simple attack on people that they're labeling as sort of political enemies, this sort of MAGA Republican label that's been put out, this extreme MAGA, you know, operatives, things like this. These are all talking points that are getting marched out of the White House, and they've made it down to the Bureau to the point where they're willing to attack anybody who's bringing the message. You mentioned Steve Friend earlier, and one of the things that we would ask is that it's like when we bring forward some of these things and these whistleblower activities, you just have to evaluate the message. You can attack us if you want, if that's something that's interesting to you, but that doesn't validate whether or not the information we brought was accurate and correct. And they never do that because it is accurate and correct, and all the things that we're calling out are real problems. So instead, what they've got is this sort of political attack on simply the people that are exposing it. And I think that's very telling. It's the same reason why they're trying to, you know, discredit Trump, because a lot of the things he said, you know, even the most probably significant thing is his Schedule F employment that he put out there. That you talk about deep state and administrative state, this would have been a harpoon into the heart of that beast and an opportunity to be able to really deal with it. And of course, it was immediately revoked. This, if people are not familiar with it, essentially would change the senior executive service and allow them to be removed by the executive, which is currently not an opportunity they have. And so it would have fundamentally changed the nature of that deep-seated, long-term administrative state. And so, of course, he's an enemy. And the idea that you'd be able to use this federal law enforcement entity in that way is really – it's disturbing. It's threatening. I came up with kind of a realization, and I'll run this by you, and you can see what you think about it. But we've watched this week how different major brands, Jack Daniels, Anheuser-Busch brands like Bud Light, have turned to a trans agenda, and they've taken on some really bizarre things. They've taken on these sort of pride celebrations and drag queens and things like this. And in that spirit, and the FBI has got some very woke situations going on. The Human Resources Department at the, you know, in the Hoover Building doesn't even have an American flag on the wall. It actually has a gay pride flag, one of the rainbow flags, and a trans flag is what I'm told. I haven't seen it personally, but I trust the people that shared that. And at this point, the FBI has become a trans intelligence agency. And just to kind of put a little bit of meat on that, it essentially started off as a law enforcement agency, and it has transitioned into an intelligence agency. I think we've talked about that previously. But the thing that's really dangerous, just like these individuals that we've seen that have taken on this, you know, the Anheuser-Busch thing, this Dylan Mulvaney type, they left the bulge, a.k.a. the gun and the badge. It's still there. The vestiges of their previous incarnation are still there. So it's still a law enforcement agency. It's just doing intelligence work. And when you do that, you end up in sort of the territory of secret police, which, you know, the capabilities right now that are FBI and you know, combined with the intelligence apparatus in this country, like they would make totalitarian regimes in most countries blush, their ability to do what they can do. And I think it's incredibly dangerous. It's very scary. And, you know, we don't know how it's going to play out because we're literally right in the middle of it at this moment. And I'm hopeful people are able to kind of put the kibosh on some of this stuff, because attacking the political enemies, you know, with this weaponized law enforcement, that's banana republic stuff for sure.
Indeed it is. And I think Terry Turchi has written about that in his book, in their own words, the Democrat Party's, you know, push for a communist America. And he and I start with the same premise, which is this is the long march through the institutions, the cultural Marxism of the Frankfurt School, Herbert Marcuse, you know, who coined the phrase make love, not war, and setting up the Christians and the capitalists and the free market people as the enemies. And who is the source of all suffering and oppression? Christianity and capitalism. And I think Terry rightfully points out, this has now penetrated even once fine upstanding institutions like the FBI, which of course I think is part of the problem, as he points out and other retired agents point out, when you promote directors like Comey or like Ray, who, you know, or Mueller, who don't come up through the agency. You know, they're not street agents that come up through the agency. You're pointing basically political animals out of the DOJ, and you point political animals, you end up with political cultural Marxism, particularly when you have guys like James Comey, you know, tweeting with a handoff on Twitter for Reinhold Niebuhr, you know, a quote Christian Marxist. And that's James Comey tweeting out on that handle. I write about it in my book, Marxianity. So this has been the takedown of the FBI by bringing outsiders in, if you will, instead of coming in from the culture of the FBI. And I think you nailed it. Do you agree that this has been about largely not promoting from the culture of the FBI and bringing your guys up to be directors instead of bringing them in and changing the culture of the FBI as they've done?
It's a big part of it for sure. I mean, and you talk about the long march. This goes back to 1946 with the Administrative Procedures Act, when essentially Congress, you know, shirked its responsibility to legislate and handed off a lot of the things that it should have otherwise, even some of its constitutional duties that are actually assigned within the Constitution in Article 1. And they handed it off so that you could have these executive agencies sort of self-manage and run their own you know, agendas. And now we have the full penetration of people that are willing to use those authorities, and they continue to do it. And it doesn't matter whether we're talking about gas stoves or we're talking about, you know, a bureau that's going to enforce the FACE Act on one side and not the other, and only go after people that are, you know, praying outside of an abortion clinic. It all is part of the same animal, and you can trace the roots back. It took a long time to get there. It took a long while to grow and thicken and to have a strong trunk, but it's there. And, you know, that's the issue that our legislatures are up against, is an unwillingness of their predecessors to actually do their job. And some of these guys were actually there and voted this stuff in, maybe not in the 40s, but they were obviously complicit in allowing a lot more of these authorities to be shirked and handed off. So we have an overreaching executive, but a lot of it is sort of autonomous, and it's definitely not, you know, a CEO type role. I had people asking me over and over again. They said, "How is it that?" You know, how is it that a president gets in and doesn't immediately handle everything that's going on? And I said, if you change the CEO at Walmart, do you think he knows what the greeter is doing in El Paso? Of course not. You know, and does he know what the store manager is doing in El Paso on the night shift? No. So a lot of these things can slip by, even the most aggressive and capable executive leader. And so, yeah, there's 100% chance. So the only way you do that is you have to have institutional reliability. You have to have people that have given a lifetime of service that are beyond reproach. And instead, we're getting political animals, as you just noted. You know, you're not getting people that basically spent their whole time running cases and maybe moved into a low-level supervisory role. Those are the people that do the real work in the FBI. The people that are in the senior executive service, most of them haven't worked cases in over a decade, and sometimes it's like closer to two decades. So they're not people that have anything to do with it. So they're 100% on board with taking a political animal on top because they're political animals themselves. It's a really difficult needle to thread, I think. But at this point, it's so corrupt. And Steve Friend and I have been making the same argument. And I know, you know, Terry and I may probably disagree about some of this stuff. But having been in there so recently and seeing what they're doing to people like my buddy Garrett O'Boyle, who was testifying in front of Congress, it's really evil. I mean, it's truly evil. They're going after fathers. They're going after husbands. They're attacking them for being good men who stood up for their oath and literally just did what they were trained to do, which is when they saw something wrong, they brought it to people's attention. And if that is a cardinal sin inside the current FBI, then the FBI is corrupted to the point where it can't be redeemed. That's just my personal take on it, obviously. But, you know, I would gut it at the very least, and I would destroy it if it was a possibility, because it just shouldn't be doing these things. And I don't know how you can start it up with the brand that half of America is looking down the barrel of and thinking, this is an enemy of mine, simply because of the way that I vote, or simply because of the way that I worship, the way that I speak, the way that I share my opinions online. And that's antithetical to the American system in every way.
Very, very well said. Absolutely. Kyle, give us your website where folks can hear your podcast and support what you're doing.
Sure. They can find me anywhere on that they listen to podcasts on the audio side, just Kyle Serafin Show, very easy to do. They can also go to kyleserafin.com, and there's embeds and links and stuff like that, and they can find the Rumble channel for that. So kyleserafin.com is a very easy way to remember it.
Thank you for being with us, Kyle, and for what you're doing and taking this stand. I know it's not easy being in limbo like this. Thank you for what you're doing.
Hey, I appreciate the time to talk with you.
Thank you. We'll definitely have you back. Kyle Serafin checking in. Check out his site, folks. Check out his podcast as well. We're going to be joined by Terry Turchi here in just 1 minute. But before we do, I want to remind you that we are brought to you by you. Many, many programs go behind a paywall, not us. We're right out here in the front where you can see us. We put them up every night at frankspeech.com, lindelltv.com, and I put them on my channel, wvwtv.com. Just over on my channel alone, my bandwidth bill is 11 grand a month. That's just for the bandwidth, the storage of the digital files, and the compressing of the digital files to go to the right player, whether your phone, your TV, if it's on Roku, or your iPad, whatever it might be. So $11,000 just in that one bill to push out free programming. There's a couple ways we're able to do all this with your partnership. So let me explain a few of those before we go to Terry Turchi. One of them is by your going to wvwtvstore.com and ordering your emergency freeze-dried food with a 25-year shelf life. And yes, it tastes very good, and I've had many of the entrees, and they are very good. You can get 1 year, 2 years, 6 months, 3 months. Now, there is about a four-week wait due to the massive volume of orders we have received. The issue isn't getting the product. We had 40 pallets. You heard me right. 40 pallets come in on Good Friday. The issue is our team working every day to fill these orders. So be patient with us. We're all helping each other. You're getting a great price. Many of you got free shipping. We personally paid hundreds of dollars for your order to be shipped to you because we went to free shipping, and you're helping us. So everyone's winning. Be patient. It's going to take a good 4 weeks for you to get your order, but get in line now. You can do that at wvwtvstore.com. You'll also find emergency supplies, not just emergency food. You'll find emergency supplies there as well. You can also call online if you prefer to order over the phone. Libby will help you. She'll help you and track your order all the way to your door. And her number is 901-468-9357, 901-468-9357. And let me play a quick little spot for you. This is something that was pitched to us by the company that makes it. And I got one. I tried it out. I saw how well built it was. So let me go ahead and roll the B-roll footage on that if you want to, Thomas. By the way, Thomas is in the control room tonight. Logan is out. It's his birthday. He turned 20 today. Happy birthday, Logan. Well, there's the Instafire Vesta right there, self-powered. It actually has the ability for three. The model we have that we ship out has got three of that liquid propane containers in it. You see that fan blowing? That allows it to circulate the air. This is not battery operated. It is heat generated. That fan is heat generated. And it's for indoors or outdoors, but mainly this would be for indoors. Heats up to a 200 square foot room. And then, of course, you can take that top off there, and if you don't want to use it as a heater, and you can actually cook over it. And you can boil water over it and make your freeze-dried food with that. So we had some folks that said, I don't want to use an outdoor stove. I see you have the solo stove for outdoors. What if I don't want to go outside? Well, we didn't know what to say because we didn't really have a product to offer. And then Vesta sent this to us and said, try this. Well, like I said, we got it. We looked at it. We tried it. In fact, Melissa and I brought the water to boil in under 10 minutes. In under 10 minutes, we were able to bring the water to boil. So we tested it, and then we started offering it to you. So you can order at wvwtvstore.com, wvwtvstore.com, or by calling 901-468-9357, 901-468-9357. I want to play for you one more time a brand-new sponsor tonight. This is QMI. They've been around for over 40 years. They've done over 50,000 installations. They are dominating about 95% of the pharmacies in America are protected by one of their doors. They have many of the big box stores. Many people maybe think about them for commercial, but they also are able to do residential. I had them install a door on my front door a few years ago and love it. And went to them and said, I think my audience would really like this. Would you guys be interested in becoming a sponsor of our show? And they said, absolutely. So this is, again, our first night to roll QMI security doors out, security shutters out as a sponsor. Some of you are familiar with them because you live in hurricane areas like Florida. So maybe you have them for a hurricane door. But other than folks living maybe in Florida who use those as hurricane doors, a lot of the folks in the rest of the country aren't too familiar with them unless they've seen them on a commercial business. But you can put them inside a residential home. You can put them outside. You could put them inside. I think you should put them inside. I think it's protecting the investment of the shutter, and it's not getting all messed up with bugs or whatever. I know folks down in Florida put them outside. That's a matter of taste. But you can put them inside, and these are not bulletproof. I will be having something for you soon, I believe, that is bulletproof in part for your windows. We'll talk about that more later. But this is a very strong shutter. You're about to see in this spot, are going to run it again. And I'm going to give you the phone number. If you want to get a pin, there is a number on the screen, but I'm going to give you the phone number for Alex. He's our contact, one of our contacts there at QMI. I'm going to give you his phone number that rings right on his desk here in just 1 second. Watch this spot first. QMI, one of our brand new sponsors. Watch this. Hello, I'm Brandon House for QMI Security Shutters. Did you know that about 35% of break-ins occur at the front door? That's why I had a QMI security shutter installed at my front door several years ago. You didn't even know there was a security shutter there until I pushed the button, right? By the way, QMI has been around for over 40 years, and they've done over 50,000 installations between businesses and residential. And in fact, they have 95% of the pharmacies secured in America and many, many of the big box stores. But they're not just for businesses. They're also for residential homes. They come in a variety of colors, and it's made of the sturdiest material in the industry. You'll sleep better at night knowing you have the QMI security shutters. By the way, they have the smallest housing in the industry. So when the shutter rolls up, it's rolling into the smallest housing in the industry. Oh, and by the way, there's a little knob there. You just take a pole that they provide for you, and you could crank it should the power go out. No trouble there. Why not call the number on the screen now? Call QMI, and they'll find you a certified installer in your area right now. Remember, they come in a variety of colors, and you're going to sleep a lot better knowing that you have a QMI security shutter securing your house, just like I do. Tell them Brandon House sent you. All right, call that number. Here's the number for our contact at QMI. Rings right on his desk. His name is Alex, and you can ask Alex all the questions you want about the QMI security shutter. His number is on his desk, 630-980-7336. Again, that is 630-980-7336. I'll give it one more time. That's area code 630-980-7336. All right, before we go to Terry Turchi, also remember one of our other big sponsors is, of course, MyPillow. If you go to MyPillow.com, you got to use the promo code B66. If you don't, we don't get credit. So if you appreciate the Worldview Report, if you appreciate Brandon House Live, and you want to keep the show going, and it takes about a team of seven of us 15 man hours a day just to put together that 30-minute newscast every night. If you appreciate all that, we appreciate your support while you pick up great products as well. Sheets, towels, blankets, pet beds, slippers, sandals, mattresses, mattress toppers, robes. If I didn't say it, pet beds. Today is National Pet Day. Let's go to another wide shot. Take a look at our beloved Delta here. National Pet Day. You can get your pet a pet bed from MyPillow. Yes, your cat will love it too. Mo sleeps in. It's not uncommon when the dogs aren't using it. Mo will get in there. So get your pets a pet bed from MyPillow at MyPillow.com. Use the promo code B66. Promo code B66. All right. We are going to be joined by Tina Peters here in just a minute as well. Thomas, if you could send her a Zoom link, that's what she needs. I'll also send you her phone number while I'm talking to Terry, and we'll get her on. But joining me now is Terry Turchi, the former Deputy Assistant Director of the Counterterrorism Division of the FBI. He joins us by phone tonight. Terry, thank you for being with us.
Sure, Brandon. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you. Hey, I don't know how much you got to hear of Kyle Serafin's comments. Did you get to hear much of that?
I did. I was able to hear at least the last 20 minutes of it. So I just hope that not just your audience, but the people who come across Kyle's name and Stephen Friend, who Kyle mentioned, another one of the FBI whistleblowers of a number of months ago. I hope that they really pay attention to what these people are saying. Because, as Kyle mentioned, he left the Bureau relatively recently. Of course, I left almost, a little bit over 20 years ago. And I wasn't seeing these changes that they're now able to talk about. And what really stands out for retired agents, so many of us, so many former agents, is that when you hear them talking, you realize that the FBI that we're talking about today is just simply unrecognizable from the FBI we served in. And that's a little bit hard for someone who for decades took the oath, just like Stephen likes to talk about, and swore to become a part of an agency that stood for fidelity, bravery, and integrity, and for really 75 years was probably the most authoritative voice about what I consider still the major enemy to social organizations and people who want independence, and that is communism. And the FBI stood up. They understood it. We talked about it. We articulated to the public what we would face if the, quote, progressives ever got in power in government, and that the best remedy to that was to simply keep them out of government. Because you can't, by the way, you cannot define communism without using progressive and progressive without using communism in today's world. That's just the way it works. They do it. The socialists like to call themselves progressives. So my point being, people are not getting that today, and no one is standing up and saying, look, all of these events that you're seeing in America, many of the events you're seeing, of course, across the world, they're not individual unrelated events. The prosecution and the 8 or 9 years long persecution of Donald Trump, the open border where millions are pouring across our southern border, the so-called anti-racist white movement, the reparations movement in California, and on and on and on. And of course, Joe Biden's inaugural, which went on and on about the white supremacists. Those terms and those very goals and those very ideas and that ideology came right out of the pages of communism. And I'll just give you an example. There was back in 1963, this is a long time ago. Back in 1963, a former FBI agent, somebody who is hated by progressives today, but an individual named Cleon Skousen entered into the congressional record something about the 45 or 50 goals of communism. I'm going to leave all of those for people to look up. They can Google it. They can read it. But I just, given the conversation today about the churches and what the FBI is doing, the FBI that for decades stood up against communism, this is number 27 of those communist goals. Infiltrate the churches and replace revealed religion with social religion. And number 28, eliminate prayer or any phase of religious expression in the schools on the ground that it violates the principles of separation of church and state. Now, we can fast forward, and I don't really need to prove whether you feel one way or the other. This is what he said in 63. This is what he had experience doing. He serviced sources inside the Communist Party and a number of affiliated organizations, and he entered these 50 goals of communism in the congressional record in 1963. Today, if you read these, if you read them and you think about it, and you think about all the things that are going on inside the FBI today, that Kyle and Stephen and some other whistleblowers have described, we're already in the abyss. We are already being delivered. Why is that? Because they have done something else that is one of the major goals of these 50, and that is they have infiltrated and they have taken over the Democratic Party of the United States, and that's why I wrote that book, in their own words, The Democratic Party's Push Towards a Communist America. This is documentary evidence. You know, if we were having a trial, it'd be a little bit hard to undo this. And let me just give you one more little piece of information, and then I'll stop for a minute here, Brandon, so we can start talking about whatever you want to talk about. But the Communist Party was not alone back in the 80s and in many decades before that. The Democratic Socialist of America has their own agenda. And, of course, they're kind of they call themselves socialists. But here's the bottom line. Socialism is the first step and the step where you can't get back. You can't retreat once you've taken it into communism. And here's what they say. The future is dependent on our ability to make a political revolution. Bernie Sanders said something very, very similar. He said, our future is dependent on our ability to make a political revolution. He made that a big deal in one of his books, taken right out of the Democratic Socialist of America. But then they go on to say, we look forward to joining you joining us in a solidarity that knows no borders. And finally, we could talk seriously about the transition. That's another interesting word, right? We hear that so much today, of course, ever since the fundamental transformation in 2008 of Barack Obama, which nobody ever really defined for us. The transition to democratic socialism through reforms that will fundamentally undermine the power of the capitalist system. So essentially, while we've been focused on the, quote, insurrection, where the biggest crime was the murder of Ashley Babbitt by Nancy Pelosi's Capitol Police. This is what's been going on. We are now implementing in the deep stages the communist revolution that they tried, and they tried through violence to implement back in the 60s and early 70s through the Weather Underground and through the Black Panther Party. Today, every one of the major goals and desires and demands of those two organizations in one way or the other has been wrapped in the Democratic Party platforms of 2016 and 2020 and is alive and well in the actions you see dozens upon dozens of Democratic Party leaders take and things that they have said. And so I think we're in huge trouble. The enemy is behind the gates, and I think that once that happens, it's very hard to sort out truth from fiction. And, of course, what do communists really specialize in? And what have we seen in all of our major, we'll call them scandals, but all of our major heartbreak issues over the last 10 years? Disinformation. Well, once they get inside government and they get their hands on information and they know their way around, our own government, our own leaders, the people in power, can turn that against us, and that's what they've done.
Terry, and then when you add in, Terry, the little interesting tidbit here, and that is I saw where the DNC is going to hold their 2024 convention in Chicago, and I'm thinking Chicago, and you mentioned the Weather Underground, and I'm thinking Chicago, and I'm thinking Bill Ayers and the Weather Underground and Bernadine Dorn and the connection with the Obamas there in Chicago and him starting his political career in Bill Ayers' living room. And I'm thinking to myself, why would they pick Chicago? I don't think that Illinois is up for grabs, is it? Is that a battleground state now? Are they so confident on their win or on the cheat that they don't need to go to Florida or Georgia or Arizona? They're going to go to Chicago. But I thought maybe they're just going home. Maybe they're just going home to this lawless, you know, Chicago, this lawless city that's got such a huge murder rate. I mean, I guess they ought to own it and wear it. They've destroyed it. But kind of interesting, they're going to Bill Ayers' backyard.
Well, sure. And Chicago is a great comfort level for these people. And that's an interesting point you raise about their convention. And it's probably not surprising. Again, the Weather Underground in their Prairie Fire Manifesto says, we're going to own the cities. We will own the cities. And if you look at city after city in America today, they basically do. They own these cities through their looking the other way on crime and through their defunding of the police, through their complete turnaround on any rational, logical thought process on how you protect American citizens. And that it doesn't matter whether they're black or white or Hispanic. They just simply don't care. I mean, how do you sit and talk to some interviewer on television as a Democratic lawmaker and go off on a mass shooting, and yet on a daily basis you say nothing as random bullets fly into the window and into the dining table of some black family in the inner city and kill someone who's just having dinner with their family. How do you justify that? And yet that happens on a daily basis. And you don't hear the press talking about it. You don't hear the media making an issue of it. And you don't see these people talking about it. You don't see Democratic lawmakers who like to use the word activism and protesters and peaceful protesters. You don't see them saying, you know, for the sake of the family of the slain New Jersey trooper back in the 80s, we need to get Joanne Chesimard out of Cuba and back to America. They don't care. They don't care because these were violent, violent people who wanted to overthrow the U.S. government. And when they got dispersed by none other than the COINTELPRO program, they went all over the place, all over the world. And a lot of them ended up in Cuba. And when they came back, good to their word, their idea was, look, we got to do this differently. Doing 2,500 bombings didn't get the job done for us. Killing policemen in ambushes across America didn't get the job done for us. Okay, we'll take power. We'll start by getting into the schools, and then we'll get into the school boards, and then we'll get into the unions, and then we'll get into the local political offices, and then we'll get into the national political offices. And that's exactly where they are today. In fact, this clown show that is running America today, courtesy of Joe Biden, these people are rabid leftists. And they can argue that, well, that's just ridiculous. But all they're doing is putting the hammer down on independent people who want to go buy a gas range or who want to buy a car that's powered on gas, who want to go up in the mountains and, ride on the trails on their dirt bikes or anything. These people want to control every aspect of what Americans are doing, and they're going to come up with the justification for that, whether it's climate change or COVID or whatever. But remember that that's not all that's in this picture now. That information, you could argue, well, that's dated. Well, it's not dated because it's updated by the Democrats themselves. They're endorsing it. They have now galvanized to implement all those things, reparations being one of the biggest examples. But remember, there's money, big money, flowing in to the black congressional caucus from the Chinese, from Soros. There's money flowing into these DAs from George Soros' organization. Where is all that money coming from? Where is it filtered through? When the Congress passes an inflation reduction plan of trillions of dollars and thousands of pages, just remember something, Brandon. There are people out there right in the middle who are kind of, given the directions on the highway of how all these grassroots organizations, all of these activists that just came out of the Yales and the Harvards and all these places can get their hands on government money that's buried in all these big bills so that our taxpayer money can continue to pay for even more activism, even more communist infiltration of our institutions to where – finally, we just simply will not know whether we're coming or going. The FBI is gone. It is not the FBI that when I think of the bureau I talk about or used to talk about. It may be there in initials, but you don't even hear very much anymore of somebody talking proudly about fidelity, bravery, and integrity unless they're a former agent, because these people now believe in inclusion, equity, and diversity. Well, that's all well and good, but there's something called the skill level and common sense and background investigations, and you should be focused on getting the very best people from every minority and every part of the population. You should not be having an office, which essentially, in my opinion, taking it to its fullest, this is just a gross violation of the civil rights law, having this woke idea, CRT idea, of focusing on these kind of elements. The people who have the best qualifications should get the job. The person who doesn't do well with heights should not be in an airplane flying around 200 passengers, okay, just because they look a certain way. That is wrong. And that is where
absolutely.
We are. But that is the remember. And also, I want to make one more point. And I'm not a psychologist. I want to make sure your audience knows that. But I did spend 30 years in the Bureau and another 10 at the Lawrence Livermore Lab. So my point is this. We're now engaged in all this self-hate, you know, like, oh, you're a white supremacist, or so you're going into the church because, hey, the reason we're interested in churches is, you know, these Christians have some strange ideas about morals. Well, yeah, of course it flies in the face of things. Well, the church shouldn't change. God didn't make the rules so that they could bend to meet, you know, Benny's idea of something down here because his feelings are hurt. Now, you don't have to be a nasty person and a bully. You should treat everybody with respect. But you should not be taking the very fabric of what made us so different and so successful and literally tearing it up. Because this country is the only country that put its government behind God. And the minute, and of course, that is a tension point now, because that's a tension point in every place where the socialists could take over. And now they want, what do they want? What did you see? And I think it was just a couple weeks too before the tragedy of what happened in the shooting in Nashville. But what did you see down in Brazil? The new president of Brazil, I want the guns. I want your guns. Didn't they already do that in Venezuela? Now we got all those people pouring over our border. You see, these people are very predictable, and they're predictable here in our country too. But remember, communism is not just an ideology of politics and social order. Communism is an ideology of massive corruption. And so when we think, if you think as an American that I feel I'm unsettled, my stomach doesn't feel well, something's wrong, well, yeah, we haven't been used to massive in-your-face corruption that the media looks the other way from. And yet now we're seeing that too, because they are implementing communism in America. And I'm not going to be shy anymore in 2023 about not using that word everywhere. I mean, that's the word. If you don't understand the disease, you're not going to be able to address it and fight it and win. And that's the disease today.
Amen.
And it is what links together all these disparate events. And I'll stop with this. There was an FBI agent many years ago when I was a brand new agent, almost had left Portland, went to New York City. His name was Jack Elliott, Brandon, and he was the Bureau's, like, I mean, he was the, you know, master surgeon of communism. And he sat in that office from 6 every morning in the NYO, the New York office, and he read thousands of pages of information coming in from all over the country. And one day we were going into the office on the PATH train, and, you know, we're riding along, it's hot and sweaty, and he looks at me and he goes, you know, Terry, these people are really serious. These people, if they had their way, they'd kill us all. They're serious. They don't give up. So even if we think we're making progress, just remember, because I won't be around forever now, but you will. Don't forget that these people never give up. They may just change the form and the look and the substance, but they'll be back every time that you get rid of and stamp them out. And, you know, Jack Elliott was exactly right. And all these things out there, whether it's my book or the 50 communist goals in the Congressional Record or the Socialist Democrats of America, you know, or the Communist Party or the Weather Underground, go ahead and get on Google. Get those documents, because this isn't me talking. I'm merely saying this is where it's at. This is where the documentary evidence is of what is happening today in America. And you don't have to be defensive about it. It's there. It's right there in your face.
Indeed it is. Terry Turchi, excellent, excellent. Wow, love it, Terry. So much truth, so poignant, so historical, so right on. The book is called In Their Own Words. In Their Own Words, you should get it. Final question, when is the next book coming out, Terry?
Well, it's coming out, I hope, and it's, you know, your daily life sometimes gets in the way of all of these things, so it's slow. It's a little slow, but it's a book that has to be out before the next election. So I'm hoping certainly way before 2024.
I hope so as well. We need it. In the meantime, folks, you should get his other book, In Their Own Words, In Their Own Words. Terry, thank you for being with us.
Oh, Brandon, thanks for having me. You take care, and thanks for all that you do. And
you
thanks
too.
Thanks for being so supportive of Kyle and Steven and the other whistleblowers, and just stay with it.
It's our honor, absolutely our honor. Thank you. Terry Churchy checking in, former Deputy Assistant Director of the Counterterrorism Division of the FBI and author of In Their Own Words. Let me run over real quick. We finally were able to make contact with Tina Peters. Tina, we'll have to get you back for a longer interview. Welcome. Go ahead, Tina. Tell our audience what's been going on with you, please.
Well, yesterday was my sentencing. So there was a trial, and they convicted me. A jury of six convicted me of the lesser charge, which was obstruction of government operations. So yesterday was the sentencing, and when the DA presented three videos, two shows that was on, and I had said on there, because someone had told me that that the obstruction of government operations was a badge of honor. So I repeated that, and of course the DA played it to basically say that I was putting my nose up to the court or whatever. So they played me in a bad light. They wanted jail time. The DA was insisting on jail time. Now I'm a 67-year-old grandmother, Gold Star mom, lost my Navy SEAL son, don't even have a parking ticket or any traffic violations, never have been in trouble before with any run-ins with the law. But at 67 years old, I guess they think I've gone on a crime spree and they wanted to put me in jail. So the judge ruled that I was to get 4 months and 4 months house arrest, have to wear an ankle bracelet, and that I have 120 hours of community service, and that I had to pay restitution. So immediately my attorney filed an appeal, which puts that to a stay. So I'm still free until we appeal this, which is totally ridiculous. This DA investigator, Struy, Brandon, follows me around, watches all of my shows. So he's probably watching today. Hello, Investigator Struy from the DA's office. And, you know, we welcome you. Hope that you learn the truth. And because, you know, the truth will set you free and you'll stop persecuting people. Maybe you'll have a Saul to Paul type of revelation. But anyway, so that's what's been going on. That's, you know, they want to come after me. This is the same investigator that called when my dad died, when I was in jail that night, went after my family and harassed them. So that's what's going on, Brandon.
And yet, Tina, we'll have to get you back for a longer update. And yet, Tina, Dr. Walter Daugherty told us not too long ago, along with MAGA Raccoon, that if it wasn't for her doing the right thing and following the law and backing up her system as she was told to by the law, we wouldn't be able to see some of the things we've seen that show us there's a serious problem with voter theft. So many people are concerned about you. They're praying for you. We wanted to get an update. Give your website real quick before we let you go.
Thank you. It's TinaPetersForColorado.com. There you can. I haven't been able to work since January 10th. They won't let me travel out of the state. They've restricted my travel. I've been denied 20 invitations to speak. And so if anybody can help out there, and of course the Lindell Legal Offense Fund, we want to support our great patriot, Mike Lindell. And you can reach me at Real Tina Peters on Twitter and Telegram. I'd love to hear from you guys. And you can also email me at Tina@TinaPetersForColorado. Thank you so much, Brandon. And there's so much more I want to share, but we will catch up another time. I appreciate you.
We'll do that. Thank you, team. We appreciate you. We'll be praying for you and asking people to support you, and we will definitely get you back on for a bigger and longer update. Pressed for time tonight, folks, but great program with some great Americans. I want to thank all my guests. Colonel John Mills, Kyle Serafin, Tina Peters, Terry Turchi, and most of all, thank you for watching. Till next time, I am Brandon House. Take care. Hello, I'm Brandon House. Do you appreciate the free programs at worldviewradio.com, WVWTV.com? Do you appreciate the fact we put out a 24-hour-a-day stream of free television? By the way, did you know that's free for you to watch, but it's not free to us? We spend thousands of dollars a month in pushing out free programming. We have to pay the bandwidth. Every time someone listens to a radio show, watches a TV show, we get a bill. We have to pay the bandwidth bill. That comes to thousands of dollars a month, not counting the cost of our IT guys and all the other costs that go with producing television, the guys in the control room, and so much more. If you appreciate WVW Broadcast Network, would you partner with us? You can partner with us and help us push out free programming as a ministry of WVW Foundation, because you know what we could do? Put it all behind a paywall. But instead, we said, let's not do that. Let's push out programming for free as a ministry of the WVW Foundation. Would you please consider making a contribution right now at WVWFoundation.com? That's WVWFoundation.com. You'll also find our mailing address there if you prefer to support us through the mail. You can also use our phone number and make a contribution over the phone by calling 901-468-9357, 901-468-9357. Thank you for supporting free programming through WVWFoundation.com. Hello, I'm Brandon House. Do you appreciate the free programs at worldviewradio.com, WVWTV.com? Do you appreciate the fact we put out a 24-hour-a-day stream of free television? By the way, did you know that's free for you to watch, but it's not free to us? We spend thousands of dollars a month in pushing out free programming. We have to pay the bandwidth. Every time someone listens to a radio show, watches a TV show, we get a bill. We have to pay the bandwidth bill. That comes to thousands of dollars a month, not counting the cost of our IT guys and all the other costs that go with producing television, the guys in the control room, and so much more. If you appreciate WVW Broadcast Network, would you partner with us? You can partner with us and help us push out free programming as a ministry of WVW Foundation, because you know what we could do? Put it all behind a paywall. But instead, we said, let's not do that. Let's push out programming for free as a ministry of the WVW Foundation. Would you please consider making a contribution right now at WVWFoundation.com? That's WVWFoundation.com. You'll also find our mailing address there if you prefer to support us through the mail. You can also use our phone number and make a contribution over the phone by calling 901-468-9357, 901-468-9357. Thank you for supporting free programming through WVWFoundation.com.